Max is a security researcher at Lookout. He's been doing this about 10 years. He spent a lot of time in obfuscation, exploit development, security research, previous Black Hat speaker. Currently focused on mobile security research and working on his PhD. He'll be telling you about some of the internals of Pegasus malware today. With that, I will turn it over to Max to take it away.
Thank you. Hi, everyone. So my name is Max Bazzelli, and today we'll talk about the Pegasus internals. I'm from Kyiv, Ukraine. Currently work as a security researcher at Lookout, and last few years focused on jailbreak techniques. So that's why I co-founded the Fried Apple team, where we're working on a various iOS jailbreak, including 8 and 9. So Pegasus. Pegasus is a high-quality espionage software that can be used for complete surveillance of a device. It just everything from stealing your personal data up to remotely activating a microphone or camera on a device without any indication it's really happening. So in order Pegasus to work, it needs to jailbreak a device first, because the iOS sandbox prevents application from spying on each other. So that's why Pegasus rely on a Trident exploit chain to completely own a device and install persistence that can be used on each device reboot. Here's a really terrifying list of targeted apps, including even the known as most secure ones like Telegram, WhatsApp, Viber. And I'm pretty sure you can find your favorite messenger in this list. Before going to a deep technical analysis of the vulnerabilities used, I want to tell a story how we get a Pegasus sample. So please meet Ahmed Mansour, who's mostly known for his job as a human rights defender. He's even a recipient of Martin Ennals Award, sometimes called the Nobel Prize for Human Rights. So on August 10 this year, Ahmed received a message with a text that someone in a state prison got someone is in prison in a state prison. So, and he received another text with a similar thing the next day. But previously, he was targeted by a hacking team in 2012 and Gemma Sven Fischer in 2011. So now, instead of clicking on a link, he contacted Citizen Lab, because he was working with those guys before. So he sent a link for Citizen Lab to analysis. And we are in as a Lookout research team, we get initial sample and a link from a Citizen Lab. So in this story, I mostly will focus it about technical part of it. So in order to work, Pegasus rely on a Trident exploit chain, and it uses three stages. So on the first stage, it uses a memory corruption to achieve a remote code execution in a Safari context. After that, it jumps, after it is on a device, it jumps to a second stage and uses two vulnerabilities to exploit a kernel. One is used for bypass the kernel address space layout randomization, and another to achieve kernel remote kernel code execution, kernel level code execution. And finally, on the third stage, it installs espionage software and uses a special trick to achieve on-device persistence. So I will focus on each stage more detailed. The first stage, as I say, is a single-use perfish URL that will be invalidated after a first click. It contains obfuscated JavaScript that the first thing it's doing is checking for a device type. Is it iPhone? Is it iPad? Is it 32 or 64-bit? And based on information about device processor type, the different versions of shellcode will be downloaded, which is in a stage two. And finally, it exploits remote code execution vulnerability in a webkit to execute the shellcode. So what vulnerability, what use it? CVE-4657, remote code execution in a webkit. Basically, the vulnerability is user-free that achieve it by using two bugs. And in a sample that we got, it's not stable because it relies on a webkit garbage collector. The problem itself lives in a market argument buffer that can be exploited by usage of the defined properties. So defined properties is a method that defines new or modified properties directly on object. It takes a few arguments, the object itself and the properties object, which can have descriptors that constitute the properties to be defined or modified. It has a pretty simple algorithm containing few loops. On the very first iteration, each property descriptor checking for formatting, and after that get appended to a descriptors vector. And to make sure that the reference to property descriptors not become stale, they need to be protected from being garbage collected. For this purpose, market argument buffer is used. We see at the very, very end, mark buffer append. So market argument buffer prevents object from being delegated. And after each property get has been validated, and it's okay, the define of property associates each of the user supplied property with the target object. And here is a problem here, because it's possible when the defined property will be called, it's possible to call any user defined JavaScript method. If in these JavaScript methods, garbage collection can be triggered, it will delegate any unmarked heap bucket object. I will go a little bit deeply in the details. First of all, a few words about market argument buffer and JavaScript garbage collector. So JavaScript garbage collector is responsible for delegating an object from a memory. When they are no longer referenced, it runs at a random intervals and based it on a current memory pressure, current device types, and so on. And when garbage collector is checking if object should be delegated, it walks through the stack and check for reference to an object. A reference to an object also may exist on application heap, but in this case, alternate mechanism is used called the slow append. So market argument buffer has initial inline stack contains the 8 values. That means when the 9th value will be added to market argument buffer, the capacity will be expanded. It will be moved from a stack memory to a heap memory. This is what the slow append is doing. Slow append move stack from a move buffer from a stack to a heap, and now object not automatically protected from a garbage collection. And to make sure they will not delegate it, they need to be added to heap's mark list set. This is what we see here. So slow append trying to acquire heap context, and it can be acquired adding an object, like marking an object by adding to a mark list set. And here is a problem, because when the heap context can be acquired, it can be acquired for a complex object, only for a complex object. So this means for primitive types like integer, booleans, and so on, they are not heap bucket object, and they will be not marked as a marked set. And there is a bug in the slow append, which we will call it just once. So this means when the buffer will be moved from a stack memory to a heap memory, and one of the properties will be a simple type, like an integer, it will be not automatically protected by garbage collection, and all the next corresponding values will be not protected as well, because the bug to a slow append. Here we see a picture that illustrating it, and in reality, the reference to JavaScript objects still exists, but if in a call to define all property method, any of the user supplied methods will be called, they can remove this reference and object will be delegated. So to summarize all the information, here is how it can be exploited. So we specify an props object which contains 12 descriptors, and first 9 of them values are simple types, like zeros, eights. Which means when the p8, which is the 9th value, will be added to mark list set, it will trigger the slow append, and buffer will be moved from a stack to a heap. And the next corresponding values, which is like length and which not number and array, will be not marked by a mark list set and not automatically protected by garbage collection. What happened next? When defined properties will be called on a length property, it will try to convert not number to a number, which force that users define it toString method will be called. ToString method remove last two reference for an array and force the garbage collection cycle by allocating large amount of memory, which leads that object will be delegated by garbage collector. The very next thing it is doing is reallocate the new object over a stale one. So this is how specially crafted user-free was used in Safari to achieve remote code execution and to execute a shellcode. The shellcode exists in a second stage, which is a payload, which contains the shellcode, compressed data. The most interesting for us is the shellcode, because it's used for a kernel exploitation in Safari context. And the compressed data basically is a loader that downloads and decrypts the next stage. One of the vulnerabilities used is CVE-4655, which is an info leak that used to bypass a kernel address layout randomization. It exploits the information that constructor and iOS initialized binary method, they miss bound checking. So that means that attacker can create OS number object with really high number of bits and call it within the application sandbox where IO register enter good property bytes. Here is how it looks like. So iOS initialized binary is a method to handle binary serialized data in a kernel. It converts a binary format to a basic kernel data object. It supports different container types, sets, dictionaries, array, object types, strings, numbers, and the point of interest is OS number. So as we see here, it passed two arguments, value and length. And there is no real check that for length property. So this means we can control the length that is passed to an object. And why it is a problem? Because here is a constructor for OS number init. And as we see, the length property passes here its new number of bits. And it overrides the size variable. And the problem that size is used in other methods in a case that OS number of bytes, which leads that return value of number of bytes is now fully controlled by attacker, which is real bad. Because it's used next in IO register enter get property bytes, which handle OS numbers. And it's used number of bytes to calculate the object length, so OS number length. But unfortunately, it used stack-based buffer to parse and save OS number value. And what happened next, it is copying memory from a kernel stack to a heap using the attacker-controlled length, which means we can specify how many bytes will be copied from a kernel stack and return to user land. This is what happens. The first thing we're doing, we create a properties array that have a dictionary, which have an OS number with a high length, in our case, is 256. Next, we need to spawn a user client by calling IO service open extended, which will deserialize OS number object and create this object in a kernel. And now we need to read it by calling IO register enter get property, which leads that we copy the 256 bytes of the kernel stack memory, and the kernel stack memory will contain kernel pointers, and from a kernel pointer we can determine the kernel base. So now we get a kernel base, and we can jump to the next vulnerability, which is CVE-4656. It's user-free to achieve kernel-level code execution. It exploits information because the seated index macro does not really retain an object, and we can trigger it within the application sandbox from iOS unserialized binary. Again, iOS unserialized binary, it's a function that parse and deserialize object in a kernel. It supports different data types, different container types, and the interesting thing, it supports K iOS serialized object. It means that we can create a reference to another object. It will be really useful in the future, because in a way of deserializing and parsing objects, OS initialized binary saved object pointer to a special objects array and using seted index for it. And as we see, seted index just save object pointer to array with some index, not retaining it. That's bad, because the next code, which casting OS string to OS symbol, it is releasing the object pointer. What does it mean? We still have an array that holds all the object pointers, which is objects array, and we just released one of the objects, but still hold the pointer. If we can create a reference to an object, we can exploit user-free. This is what happens, because K-IOS serialized object allows us to create a reference, and we will just call retain on already deserialized, already delegated object. This is how exploit look like. So first of all, we create OS dictionary that will contain a string that due to bug will be deallocated. So now we need to reallocate it with our controlled object to fit in the same memory spot. As OS string in our case, will OS string class in a memory will be 32 bytes, we need to allocate the same size. For this purpose, OS data is a perfect candidate because we can control OS data buffer, buffer size, and buffer content. So what we can do, we can create a fake OS string with a fake with table, and this fake with table will point to some gadgets in the kernel. The very last thing we need to do is trigger use after free by adding KIO serialize object. So once again, OS string got deserialized, deallocated. We allocate new object, which is OS data buffer, which will point to the same memory spot. We got a user to free. So after getting user to free, Pegasus use some kernel patches to disable security checks, like patch set UID to easily escalate the privileges. Bypass MFI checks by patching out MFI get out of my way. Disable code assignment enforcement by patching CS enforcement disable variable. And finally, remount system partition to be readable writable so it can execute a loader for the next stage that will download and decrypt the next stage. The next stage contains the real SPNS software that will be use it to sniff all the like SMS, all the calls, all the like personal data. It have three groups. One is the process group, which have a main process sniffing services. The model that uses C protocol to communicate with command control, like a process manager, and so on. The next interesting thing is group of the dialibs, because Pegasus rely on Cydia substrate, the jailbreak framework, called rename it as libdata, and use a Cydia substrate to inject dynamic libraries into application process. So in our case, we have a dynamic libraries for Viber, for WhatsApp, IMAIM, which will be injected to application space and install application hooks. And the last thing is com Apple iTunes Store defile, which is a JavaScript that contain code and shell code that will execute, that can execute unsigned code. I will focus on it next. So the bug exists in a JSC binary. JSC binary is like a helper for JavaScript core, JavaScript engine in Apple. And it can lead to unsigned code execution. In combination with RTBuddyG trick, it can be used to completely gain a persistence on the device. It exploits that it is a bad cast in set early value method. And fortunately, it can be triggered only from GST application context. So what is the problem? It exploits a problem in JavaScript binding set impure getter delegate, which have a in C++ words function set impure getter delegate. This function takes a few arguments. One is an impure getter, and the second one is a generic JS object that will be set as this impure getter delegate. The problem will be next slide, so we just parse two arguments and call a set delegate. The set delegate called set, which finally call set early value. Here's the problem, because there is no real check that the object type passed to set impure getter delegate is really impure getter. So this means that if any other object type will be passed, it will be improperly downcasted as impure getter pointer. That's what happened here. So it's a bad cast that have no real check for object type, and which lead that we can override one of the object fields. Here is the same function, but now decompile it in IDAPRO. So in our case, impure getter is a base variable here, and the delegate is this generic JS object. We see that a pointer, which is base plus 16, can be overwritten with a pointer to a delegate, which leads, if we see on the right, JS array buffer view class. If we pass JS array buffer view class as a first argument, the M vector field will be overwritten with a pointer to a delegate, which is really bad because it can lead to readable writable primitives. To exploit that, Pegasus uses two data views. I will call them data view 1 and data view 2. And call a set impure getter delegate on both, which leads that m vector field in the first data view will be overwritten with a pointer to the second data view. And now, by setting and reading values on the first data view, we can overwrite object fields in a second. Why we need it? We can map the second data view as entire process memory. By overwriting second data view array buffer offset to be 0, by overwriting second data view length to be 4 gigabytes in a case of 32-bit process, and set type as fast array type. So basically, second data view, now it's mapped into entire process space, and we can get int, set int to get arbitrary read and write anywhere in a process memory. The same thing can be used even to get execution primitive. But in this case, we can call set impure getter delegate twice. And instead of exposing the entire process memory, we can leak just an object address. If we can leak an object address, we can create JS function that have like hundreds of empty try-catch constructions, and force G to compile it. And in this process, special readable, writable, executable memory segment will be allocated. We can leak address of this JIT segment, overwrite it with a shellcode, and execute. So this is how the bad case can be used to like re-exploit even a kernel on each boot. It uses it with a persistent mechanism, which is RTBuddyD. So the problem is that system spawning RTBuddyD service with a special early boot argument. This means if we take any other binary signed by Apple and name it as RTBuddyD, it will be spawned on a boot. That's what Pegasus is doing. So they take JSC binary, which is signed by Apple, name it as RTBuddyD, then take JavaScript that contain exploit, make it as a symlink, call it early boot, which leads when the RTBuddyD will be spawned with early boot, it will call JSC with JS exploit instead. So with this trick and the bad cast, it re-exploits kernel on each device boot. There are some tricks that Pegasus use to make it harder to reverse engineer, like use one-time links. So after you click on any of the links, they will be invalidated and now redirect to Google or other sites. It re-encrypts all the payloads each time they are downloaded just on the fly. And of course, it's trying to hide itself to make look like a system component. Of course, it blocks IOS system updates to make sure you cannot patch your device just on the fly. To clear all the evidence, clear Safari history and caches. And we even found a self-destruct mechanism that can be triggered remotely or on a timeout. So in addition to this refined list of supported applications, it records any microphone usage, any camera usage, GPS location, keychain passwords, even including the Wi-Fi and the router one. Why they need router? I don't know. Application hooking. So how it operates, as I mentioned earlier, it's use Cydia substrate. And with the help of Cydia substrate, it preloads dynamic libraries into application process and intercept some critical functions. It uses signjack to run into already running processes. So this is like a high level picture how it looks like. So all the application level critical functions and the framework level critical functions are intercepted by Pegasus. So now Pegasus can control them, can collect them, can peg them, can send to a command control, and so on. To summarize, Pegasus is a remote jailbreak spotted in the wild. It's pretty scary because it doesn't require any user interaction. And the last similar thing was like 5 years ago when the Comex released his jailbreak MIS3. This year, Luca Tedesco used one of the Trident vulnerabilities for his jailbreak. I want to say a special thanks to Citizen Lab for helping us with achieving a Pegasus sample. All the Lookout resource and response team, the Divergent security guys, and all the individual researchers who was involved in the research. There's a list of some useful links, which contain a 44-page PDF report with really, really deep details on vulnerabilities. Just use it even with a difference between 32 and 64-bit ones. So if you're interested, please take a look. I think this is it. Do you guys have any questions?
Say it again. Mm-hmm. Okay, please keep it brief. We only have some minutes left for the questions. And if there are any questions, please go to the microphones in the hall. And we start with the Signal Angel from the internet.
Thank you. Is there any way to build your app protected from this exploit?
Yes, it is, because the Pegasus use some of the known jailbreak techniques. It is possible to detect, for example, that system partition is remounted as readable-writable. It could be one of the indicators that some generic jailbreak is running on a device. Or like check for especially file that Pegasus use, but like better check it in general for jailbreak patches, the kernel patches.
Please try to stay a bit quiet. We are still in the middle of the Q&A. If you don't have to leave now, please stay seated until afterwards. And if you have to leave now, please do not talk. Microphone 3, please.
Hey, what's the user experience during this?
User experience, I mean, you mean when you get a device infected by Pegasus? Well, there is the scary thing, there is no real indicators on a device that you get something. That's, you click on a link, your mobile web browser opens and just closes and crashes. This is it. There is no new applications spotted on your on the visible applications and so on. But in a real, it's running like three new system services, but they're not visible to a user.
Thank you. And please, another question from the internet.
Thank you. Have you any idea how active this exploit is in the wild?
Say it again, please.
Have you any idea how active this exploit is in the wild?
I'm sure it was a very targeted attack, because those exploits are pretty expensive. For example, Zerodium now pays $1.5 million for remote jailbreaks like this. So I don't think the authors of this spyware want to deal malware accessible for everyone. So I think it's very, very targeted attacks. It's hard to predict how many devices was infected by Pegasus. Now we know about the Mansur One. So again, I think it's a very, very dangerous thing, because it's very expensive.
Thank you for this answer. Microphone number 5, please.
Hi. Do you have any more information on the NSO or the group that's behind it? Are they using any other software, and how spread is this in the wild again?
Yeah. So in this case, we focus it mostly on technical details of the Pegasus itself, but Citizen Lab made their investigation on NSO, and like that NSO is like cyber arms dealer. So please take a look about in Citizen Lab report on that. So they have much more information.
Do we have a question from the internet? Am I overlooking anyone? No, then this is it. Thank you for your talk.